Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Blackhawk 720.
Came to the left circle, pulls up, holds, fires, he scores! Number 400 for Patrick Kane!
Take the Blackhawks to go. Blackhawk 720, your insider key to the Hawks.
Kane over the stars, line with an empty net, he shoots, he scores! An empty net goal, and that will put it away!
It's time for Blackhawk 720, the only Hawks podcast worth listening to. Now, here's Chris Bowden and Joe Brand. Podcast royalty.
It's Nashville week. Hi, everyone. Welcome to a fresh edition of the Blackhawk 720 podcast. I'm Chris Bowden, your pre- and post-game host on 720 WGN. For all Blackhawks games, joined as always by our usual Blackhawks reporter, now again, wearer of all hats, both here at WGN, everywhere, UIC, you name it. Joe Brand joining us, and Joe, this Nashville week has not gotten off to a good start. Nashville week has begun kind of like the Blackhawks versus Nashville year has gone. No, not just year. Let's go back to 2017, the 2017 playoffs. It has been a repeat of that, even though they did some good things on the opener of the series on Monday night. Boy, you take away 2 minutes from that game. Unfortunately, the 2 minutes do count. But if you take away 2 minutes in which the Blackhawks gave up a total of the four goals, things would look a whole lot nicer. Unfortunately, that's not the way it works.
Yeah, for most Chicagoans, Nashville week probably sounds like a grand old time. Maybe a bachelor party or just a vacation, you know, a real good time down in Nashville, Tennessee. But unfortunately for the Blackhawks this year, and like you said, kind of the recent couple of years for the Hawks, it's been a rough place to play, and it's been a rough team. They just completely have their number, especially this season. But you're right. I mean, there's things to pull out positively from that game, but we're too far into the season where little things positively to pull from games doesn't do much, especially when now you've got two teams that you're chasing for that playoff spot. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, there were just a couple of freak minutes that really were detrimental to the Hawks and coming out on top in that game. And you know, it's starting to get to the point now where rebounding is totally necessary, and if they're unable to do so, you just keep digging yourself deeper and deeper into that hole of missing the playoffs. I mean, the good news is the next game is more important, and then after that, that next game is more important. So I guess that's a one positive to pull for Blackhawks fans moving forward.
Well, they forced themselves to make it important with their result in that game on Monday night, and as we take a look at it now, first resetting the big picture, Nashville sitting in fourth place at 51 points. Dallas has now leapfrogged the Blackhawks into fifth place at 48. They also have a couple of games in hand as well, and they have three more games in a row against the Detroit Red Wings, who have been playing better. The Hawks learned that firsthand when they went to Motown last week. But the Blackhawks sitting at 47 points once again, and they have dropped to now 0-4-2 against Nashville this season, scoring all of 8 goals in those 6 games. And since that 2017 first-round playoff series, over 22 games, the Blackhawks are 5-13-4, scoring a total of 38 goals in those 22 games. And the beat went on Monday night. They managed just 2 goals. The good part of it is their goal was not to be hemmed in their own zone, not to be clogged up in the neutral zone as much as they have historically been this season against Nashville, and you could probably take that even back to the last couple of seasons. They did spend their share of time in Nashville's defensive zone, putting some pressure on UC Saros, unlike anything that we have seen in the first 5 games this season. So from that standpoint, it was certainly encouraging, but from the other standpoint, you just go back to those two sequences, the one early in the second period when Nashville ends up scoring after a 1-1 tie, the power play goal by Alex DeBrincat. Nashville ends up scoring a couple of goals in a 51-second span. And then after the Blackhawks fought to within 3-2 and really looked good in the latter stages of the second period, some bad luck for Connor Murphy turns into the 4-2 goal. And that was just a matter of seconds into the third period. Then 18 seconds after that, Duncan Keith blows a tire. It was not the best of games for a future Hall of Fame defenseman, and everyone's bound to have those games. But then just like that, in the blink of an eye, as you know, even though the Blackhawks played a much better overall game against Nashville, the mistakes really are what cost them, and Nashville has become a very advantageous team to jump on those mistakes, especially when it comes to facing the Blackhawks.
I'm wondering if we can tweak the helmet rule. What can be changed? What can be tweaked in that setting? I understand it doesn't happen that often, and I understand the reasoning for it, too. And I don't want to get into the argument, well, yeah, back in the day, nobody was wearing helmets, so how horribly dangerous could it be for a player to not have a helmet for quite some time? But I think Connor Murphy's definitely got a point. I mean, why does the player who loses his helmet, not for his own fault, need to be the one that leaves the play? And that's a direct result in why a goal was scored right in that instance. So I don't know how you fix it. I mean, do you tweak the rule to where, okay, yeah, you have to go and get a new helmet when the opportunity presents itself, rather than just leaving right then and there? I mean, it's just unfortunate that that's how it felt for the Blackhawks. The Duncan Keith situation then is just, you know, kind of getting kicked while you're already down. I heard, you know, Troy Murray break it down in the post game too, that Duncan Keith probably missed a spot there anyway. So these mistakes that keep happening continue to be the reason why the Hawks are exposed and losing these games. And a lot of that goes with, I think, the youth on this team. But, you know, when a guy like Duncan Keith is having that mistake that results in a goal, then, you know, it's really tough for that entire team to work around that. And I think, you know, Nashville does a good job of slowing down some of the star players like Kane and DeBrincat. I know DeBrincat was able to score. I know it was on the power play, but you're kind of seeing that now. When Patrick Kane and Alex DeBrincat don't contribute on the score sheet, that's when this team can't win. So, you know, before it was all these young players doing what they could, stepping up, overperforming, and now basically the core that has carried this team for so long, and I know it's been depleted this year, haven't been able to perform at their full potential, and that's kind of what's hurting now, and again, exposing the youth of this team at the moment.
The helmet rule is a new one so far this year. You will hear Connor Murphy talk about that in detail a little bit later on here on the podcast, and we also have to bring up the fact that for the third time in five games, the Blackhawks were faced due to an injury of playing five defensemen for most of the game. And the second time it happened real early, one Columbus game, Adam Boqvist went out after less than a minute of ice time on his second shift. This time, Wyatt Kalinuk goes off on his second shift. And, you know, that kind of messes up the whole structure and order of things. And that certainly could be a factor in some of the miscommunication, you know, some of the mistakes that were made there, not to make excuses. And Connor Murphy, you know, definitely doesn't want that, nor does any other Blackhawks player. So we'll hear from Connor a little bit later, as well as Jeremy Colleton. But first, let's hear from Alex DeBrincat, whose goal in the first period on the power play brought the Blackhawks back into a one-all tie. A nice shot in the arm for the power play going up against a penalty kill that had been about 90% and among the best in the league since about the midway point of March. But Alex was one frustrated character afterwards. You can tell all he knows is frustration against the Nashville Predators, because his first season was the one following that 2017 spring playoff loss in the first round. And, you know, he has experienced all this frustration against Nashville firsthand since he entered the league. So here you'll hear him talk post-game on Monday night about, you know, constantly playing catch-up against Nashville. We'll provide some of the details as far as that's concerned once we hear from Alex here. Also, you know, getting into and spending more time in the offensive zone, as we discussed. But he first talks here about just a brutal way to lose this game, even though they played better overall against Nashville. Just two gut-punching sequences, one in the second, one in the third period, as we've been detailing. Here's Alex DeBrincat after Monday's game.
You know, we have a few breakdowns, you know, about 2 minutes of poor hockey, and they score four goals. So we got to be better, come back to play. We got some home games coming up, so we need to capitalize there.
I don't think you guys have led at all in the last five games against these guys. How difficult is it that not getting that first goal, it just feels like you guys are playing catch up in these games?
Yeah, but it's, you know, we've done it before. We've come back in games. You know, it's not the biggest problem, I think, when we let up two or three, and then we're digging ourselves out of a hole. One goal is not too bad, but once we have a two or three goal deficit, it's pretty tough to come back from.
Talking about those, 2 minutes of poor hockey leading to four goals, you feel like you guys just took a breath those two times, or what do you think led to that?
I don't know. Obviously, third period, probably not ready to go. That's a time where we need to have the puck in their zone. We need to be forcing. We're down one goal going to the third. We need to have a good first shift and second shift, obviously, as well. We just can't let that happen.
Offensively, you talked this morning about trying to, play a little bit more in the offensive zone, maybe from behind the net rather than trying to do everything in transition. Do you feel like you guys made some improvement against Nashville in that regard?
Yeah, I think we had a lot of good zone time trying to get pucks to the net. I think they blocked a lot of shots, but we got to find a way to get it through. We had one, that was just, keep hammering away, and, it eventually went in. So I think we got to get more goals like that, more bodies to the net, and, put in our chances.
Couple things from a disappointed Cat. And Plankton was probably disappointed, too.
Probably.
After that 5-2 loss as well.
He wasn't too happy.
By the way, we are recording from our WGN studios, not in the Pilsen podcast pad.
Great
today.
To be here, by the way.
Yes. Coming right off of that new shift, Mr. Wearer of All Hats. Alex saying, and maybe this was just stream of consciousness, not being ready to go to start the third period. And in this type of game, he maybe just be describing it in a nutshell, because as we've been looking a little bit deeper into the way that third period started, obviously they give up two big goals, but the circumstances under which it began was Helmet Gate, which we were just talking about with Connor Murphy, and how that opened things up for the first goal, and then Duncan Keith losing an edge to set up the second goal. So whether it's not ready to start, there's no excuse in this situation not to be ready to start the third. And I would think that just came out of Alex's mouth, psychologically and emotionally, they're ready to go, especially after pretty much carrying play the latter half of that second period and getting back into it, making it 3-2 on David Kemp's, hallelujah, first goal of the season since last March. Even though he said that, I tend to believe, I can't believe that they weren't ready to go to start the third period. They just had one bad domino fall in the opening seconds, and then right after that, another domino fell on top of them as well. So I would hope that's kind of the circumstances that actually happened rather than what Alex had to say about not being ready.
Well, the other thing he said, we had a few breakdowns, about 2 minutes of poor hockey and they score four goals. We've got to do better. I mean, yeah, this team is just in no position where they can be, caught with their pants down. If they make a mistake, the other team's going to pounce on it. I mean, every game remaining in the regular season is against a team above the Blackhawks in the standings right now. And those teams are going to want to put the Blackhawks down further than where they already are, and especially a team like Nashville that I feel like always has a chip on their shoulder when they play the Hawks, and clearly that's kind of the case going on this season. But again, this is just not a team that can slip up at any certain time. You mentioned working with five defensemen. Obviously, that's a big point in the game. The Brandon Hagel situation is just real unfortunate, because he always seems to provide quite the spark plug for this team, and who knows what type of energy he can bring. I don't know if it's going to sway the entire game, but still. Still, it changes things. So, yeah, there are some things out of their control, but there are a lot of things in their control, too. And I think because of how well this team was playing earlier in the year, they realize what they are capable of. And when they don't hit that level, they feel very guilty about where they're at. And I think that's what's happening right now.
Well, and here's the other thing about Nashville and the Blackhawks matching up against them. Since the first game of the season between these two teams, back on January 26th, it was also at Bridgestone Arena, the Blackhawks took a 2-1 lead in the third period, into the third period of that game. And since that, Nashville would then go tie it up and then eventually win in overtime. Since Nashville tied that game up and eventually won in overtime, the Blackhawks have either been tied or trailing the Predators in every game since, including Monday's. You wonder how they'd be able to handle, taking a 1-0 or a 2-0 lead and see if, that may play a little bit better into their hands. We just don't know right now, because That was a Matthias Janmark. Remember Matthias Janmark?
Wow,
he scored the go-ahead goal in the second period of that first meeting this season to give them a 2-1 lead. And ever since then, Nashville ends up tying it and taking the lead. And this is a bad team for the Blackhawks to remain tied with or to try and play catch-up against. And, you know, they showed some positive signs there in the second period when Kampf scored and they started carrying play a little bit more down in Nashville's offensive end. But I think that's kind of a stamp, a bookmark of how difficult it is for the Blackhawks to beat this team, because once it almost seems like Mount Everest, once they score one goal, you know, as soon as Matt Duchene had that tip in 6.5 minutes into Monday night's game, you're thinking, oh boy, here we go again. Right. Good on the Blackhawks for tying it up, and then boom, then they get socked in the gut right there early in the second period too.
Yeah, I mean, when you just break it down with those numbers, it just goes to show how much Nashville has the Blackhawks number this year. I mean, 0-4-2 against the very same team with hardly, I mean, let alone a lead. It just seems like the goal that they always need is never quite there. It kind of seemed to be getting there on Tuesday or Monday's game, but they could just never quite get over that hump. I think Colleton for saying, for us to win these games, we've got to be at close to our top level. That's a great challenge for us, and we want to rise to it. I think for a lot of the game, we were very, very good. Ultimately, the mistakes that we made are tough to recover from. And again, it just goes down to when this team is exposed with their flaws, it's tough for them to come back. And I still think you are seeing this youth kind of being exposed. And now all of a sudden, it's almost like the Blackhawks are the little brother against Nashville, just in this season series, at least, with having such a difficult time of getting past it. But again, this team has showed that they can work under the right mechanics and follow the same lead, and everybody can pitch in. And right now, that's not happening, and the clock is ticking on whether or not it's going to happen in time or not.
It almost seems like for all the years during the cup runs when the Blackhawks would find a way to leapfrog over Nashville in those early playoff series and, you know, have the upper hand, and that now the tables have kind of reversed right now. And, you know, these things do happen in cycles, and right now the Blackhawks just finding a difficult time figuring out Nashville's number. They have two games, of course, here at the United Center Wednesday and Friday to figure out. We said we were going to hear from Connor Murphy, and let's do that right now. Again, a brief clip, just like it was with Alex DeBrincat talking post-game. We didn't do every necessary Q&A that he was faced with here, but here Connor talks about those small margins for error versus good teams, especially for the Blackhawks against this Nashville team with the way it's been rolling since early mid-March. Also goes into further detail about the challenge of playing only five defensemen for virtually the entire game. Again, the third time in five games that has happened here to the Blackhawks. But he starts out here, again, lamenting being kind of a victim of rulebook circumstance, as Tanner Janot, the Nashville forward, had him along the boards, kind of rubbed him against the helmet up high, and the helmet started coming out, and Janot didn't have any problem completing the effort of having that helmet rip off of Connor's head, and it was really too far away for him to go pick up and retrieve. He was forced to go to the bench, and as a result, Janot goes to the front of the net. Other teammates are unaware that Connor's gone, and it results in the goal that made it 4-2. Here's Connor Murphy.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. I don't really like that rule that you have to leave just take yourself out of the play from something that obviously you're not knocking your own helmet off. You get in a battle, and sometimes their guy's gonna try to flush his arm around your head, and it's gonna slip your helmet off. So that guy ends up getting a free path to the net to score, and it's just frustrating. I gotta get some clarity on that and how much I can stay in it, and maybe. I don't know, maybe it's worth taking a penalty and keep playing, because I think it's crazy to have to let a guy go to the net and score.
DeBrincat said that about four bad minutes of hockey and some defensive breakdowns kind of got this one away. Is it tough when the margin of error feels so small against these guys?
Yeah, I think in intense games against good teams, that's what it's going to be. Margin of error is small. The same stuff was against a little bit against Tampa and Florida when we played on the road. I think just teams this time of year, if you're going to play for a playoff spot, you have to be sharp for longer periods of the game. That like Cass said it well, we weren't sharp for long enough.
How much does it affect you guys to lose Wyatt that early in a game and have to go with just five defensemen?
It changes just because you don't have a pair that you stick with for the game. You're playing with everyone, and everyone's playing both sides. I think the tough part is that we don't have any other right shots, so guys
it's a lot of credit to Z, Z Stilly, Honor, and Dunks for being able to play both sides of the ice and have one shift where you're on the left and one shift you're on the right. And same thing on the penalty kill, doing both sides. It's not easy to be able to do that. So I think it makes a different impact on pairings and guys having to play kind of different positions and trying to get comfort and keep momentum in a game when you're being put around different places. We definitely have guys that can play minutes and all of those guys at D-men that we had tonight are good players. And we would never use that as an excuse.
So that's Connor Murphy, always very eloquent in what he has to say, but kind of a frustrated, grumpy number five, playing extra minutes with another defenseman down, and then, again, being a victim of the circumstances of the rule book. And you can't really blame him for that frustration, especially when you're scratching and clawing, giving everything you can. And then just when you're within one, all of a sudden the gap widens very quickly on something that he really didn't have any control over. And he was trying to be the good soldier, getting back to the bench and follow the rule book. But, you know, I was talking with Troy in the postgame show afterwards a little bit about maybe you just take a chance, go for it, you know, and take a penalty if the referees do notice it. I'm sure they would notice it, and just roll the dice on that, because it's been a Nashville power play that's been struggling since they don't have Forsberg, since they don't have Tolvin, and I think they're 0-for over the last six or seven games, and the Blackhawks penalty kill has been doing a much better job lately.
Well, I tell you what, if you're able to think about all that and all those scenarios in real time in that situation
in a millisecond,
and you come out with that result, that's fantastic on you. I don't know. I think you got to be a very wise veteran in order to concentrate on all of that. But I think his response, saying, you know, is it worth it to take the penalty, more plausible right there. That explains the entire rule right there, and kind of just how, I don't want to say outrageous, but I don't know, can't we, all right, in the 10 minutes it's been since we originally brought it up, can we tweak it to if your helmet gets dislodged because of a player on the opposing team, then, you know, you can either keep playing or go for your helmet on the ice or something. I mean, it just seems a little, it's like there's nothing the player can do to help themselves in that situation.
Maybe, you know, continue the play. Next time out, you go take a look at it.
Right.
You know, and find out if it was the opposing player. But, yeah, I guess
it
was all in the name of player safety, you know, and we're picking nits here. And if the shoe was on the other foot, we definitely love the rule. Don't love the result. Again, the Blackhawks lose 5-2 Monday night in the opener of this three-game series, really three-game playoff series for all intents and purposes. Jeremy Carlton certainly saw some positives. In the end, he was left frustrated when he met the media afterwards. And here you hear the head coach talking about, you know, getting everything they earned late in the second period in order to get back into the game to start the third. The wear and tear on the blue line once Wyatt Kelenic went out with that hip injury, and how his team did more of what they wanted to do differently versus Nashville. They did it a whole lot better, but in the end, it still wasn't good enough on Monday night.
You know, for us to win these games, we got to be at close to our top level. It's a big challenge for us. That's a great challenge for us, and we want to rise to it. I think for a lot of the game, we were very good. Ultimately, the mistakes that we made are tough to recover from. It's just tough to come back when you put yourself in a hole. So we definitely showed what it should look like to give ourselves a chance to beat that team, and we're going to need to bring that next time out. It's still there for us. Obviously, we know we probably need two of these three. Now we got to respond. Again, a lot of it was good. We got to capture that, but ultimately can't give them what we give.
How frustrating were those two goals in the third period where Connor loses his helmet and then Duncan blows a tire? I don't really know what they could have done in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, I thought we were playing well. You know, obviously to go down 3-1 was tough. But then we battled back, and I thought we controlled a lot of that second period and easily could have tied it, and want to recapture that momentum. And you know, on the first shift, I mean, I don't think he lost his helmet. He got his helmet knocked off. I think the guys on the left side of the ice didn't know it. And so, yeah, that was two goals give him up the way we did was obviously a tough blow considering how we played for up to that point. And then I think even after that, we had a lot of the play. We certainly had our chances.
Any update on Wyatt and how difficult was that losing him so early and just having to go 5D the whole game?
Yeah, it just seems to be a constant thing here where we're playing a lot of games with 5D, and it's hard. It's hard on our guys because it's a tough level, and big games. They're intense, they're physical, and I don't know the timeline, but obviously he couldn't come back.
With so many left-handed defensemen, does that make it difficult too, where guys that probably who aren't as comfortable playing on their offside were having to play there with Wyatt out?
Yeah, I mean, we've dealt with it all year. We're having left-handed guys playing the right. It's not an excuse. Ultimately we got to find a way to solve it.
What do you think went wrong in that sequence that gave them the two in the second period? You had talked about the two in the third, so I was just sort of talking.
Yeah, I don't really want to go through goal by goal. I think ultimately we got to be sharper, and they made us pay when we made some mental mistakes.
Do you feel like the offensive strategy maybe showed a little bit of improvement compared to the previous games against Nashville?
I think we did a better job of sustaining zone time in the offensive zone. We certainly had our chances. I thought we created more off the rush in tonight's game than we did certainly the last three. But I think a lot of guys were good. Still need a couple more to sustain it for the full 60.
So if Monday and this week was going to be a fork in the road, Joe, Wednesday, the fork is starting to split a little bit wider, and you really got to take the right route, or trying to find a way to take the right route. It's just so difficult and frustrating and challenging for this Blackhawks team against this Nashville team. And hey, score the first goal. Score the first two goals. Roll the dice. See if that can happen. Easier said than done. But I'm just curious as to how that could potentially play out, because they certainly haven't experienced that only one time, as we detailed a little bit earlier here on the podcast so far this season. And it's really getting down to cutting time here for the Blackhawks in these two games, because after these two at the United Center this week, it's down to eight games. The Blackhawks will have three consecutive days off. They have the weekend and then on Monday off before Tampa Bay comes in for one on Tuesday. And then Joel and his Florida Panthers come in for games next Thursday and Saturday to wrap up what will be a five-game homestand. It was a 3-2 road trip in normal times. You would take that. In this case, it's not enough for what the Blackhawks certainly needed, especially with what they needed on Monday night.
Yeah, how many times have we sat down talking on the podcast, this upcoming week is going to be very big for this team, and it could tell whether or not they make the playoffs. I mean, now it is getting to the point that even if you do win these games, you still need some things to happen. So as of right now, as of today, every game coming up for the Blackhawks is very important, and you know, each game is going to be more important.
And you're asking for help, too, from other
exactly,
teams.
Exactly, exactly. So really what it comes down to is, you know, you might be looking at every upcoming game as a must-win in order for them to make the playoffs, and any kind of falter just really hits you down the slope. And, you know, it's unfortunate that it's gotten to this point, but it's still a possibility. It is. And, you know, you can't really say the term they're in control of their own destiny, but they are playing the teams that they need to get in front of. Obviously, you know, they're not going to pass Florida or Tampa Bay or Carolina, but hey, if they're able to take care of some business, maybe figure some things out, now's the time to do it. And if all those stars align, look at that, you're playing some of your best hockey right in a playoff season. But you know, definitely still a lot to be figured out until then.
Yeah, and you know, it's just the way it is in any sport. There are certain teams that some have difficulty against. There are certain teams that you don't. Case in point, for Carolina is to Nashville, the Preds have yet to beat Carolina this season, as Nashville is to the Blackhawks, because you know, Nashville went in there 13, winning 13 of 16, and sure enough, Carolina beats them twice before they have this three-game series against the Blackhawks. So they know what it feels like, and they probably take a certain amount of pleasure in kind of turning the tables on the Blackhawks here, having the upper hand, especially with how these standings are playing out. And you know, who knows? You hope the Blackhawks can find a way to win these two games, remain in the hunt. front, but they got a Dallas team that's roaring from behind as well and has overtaken the Blackhawks as we record here on Tuesday afternoon. So that's a wrap for this edition of the Blackhawks 720 podcast. We want to thank our producer, Curtis Koch, as well as all the technical assistance from Brett Jackson today, as well as Ernie Skatton, the voice of the Blackhawks 720 podcast. Thank you all as well for listening, and we will come back at you next Monday. It'll be at the end of a three-day break after these two games against Nashville and before the Blackhawks get set to face Tampa once and Florida twice to wind up this homestand. And we encourage you, as always, to subscribe. That way the podcast will be right there waiting for you when it comes out. Otherwise, keep tabs on it on WGNRadio.com and on our Twitter feeds. I'm at Bowden Tweets. Joe is at Joe_Brand1. Can the Blackhawks looking to get back into this thing and try to figure out a way to defeat Nashville? And we'll have our final answer, I guess, when we come at you in our next podcast next Monday. Have yourself a great week, everyone.
How about that?
They won it.
The Hawks win the Stanley Cup.
Thanks for listening to the Blackhawks 720 podcast. Tell a friend, subscribe, and join the conversation. And follow the guys on Twitter @BowdenTweets and @Joe_Brand1.
That was great.